Have you ever wrestled with God's plans for your life? Jacob's journey takes him from fleeing danger to encountering God in a life-changing way. In a dramatic nighttime wrestling match, Jacob comes face to face with his shortcomings and God's transforming power. This story reveals how God meets us in our struggles, empties us of self-reliance, and reshapes our identity. If you've ever questioned God's purpose or felt unworthy, keep listening.
We pick up our study today in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 17. This is where Jacob is gathering all his family and belongings, and he is secretly fleeing back to the land of promise, the land of Canaan. 3 days later, Uncle Laban, who's been away shearing his sheep, discovers that Jacob is gone, and he's infuriated that Jacob would sneak off with his daughters and his grandchildren and all of his flocks and herds. But Jacob has every reason to try to avoid a confrontation. He knows the greedy old Laban isn't about to let him go and could very well do him harm. In fact, that seems to be Laban's intention, because God comes along here and speaks to Laban while he's pursuing Jacob in a dream. And God says here in verse 24, "Be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad." Now, this Hebrew expression forbids any kind of threatening Jacob with any kind of harm. Now, Laban has obviously been planning to threaten Jacob's life unless he returns. God says, don't do that. Now, it takes 7 days for Laban to finally overtake Jacob, and when he does, he immediately accuses Jacob of abducting his daughters and family and stealing his belongings. He asserts the right to punish Jacob, but then recounts the Lord's warning to him in that dream. And Jacob proclaims his innocence. He fires back here in verse 41 that Laban has been cheating him for years. Now, rather than come to blows, as we might expect at this point, Laban and Jacob make an agreement. Here in verses 45 to verses 53, they erect a heap of stones as a testimony to their covenant, and it's also going to serve as a boundary marker separating these families. Following their agreement, they settle down and end up eating one last meal together. Well, the next morning, Laban kisses his daughters and grandchildren goodbye, and with that, this old deceiver, Laban, returns home, and you will never hear about him again. But God isn't finished with the younger deceiver here. He's still working on Jacob, developing this trust and faith in this man who needs to trust the promises of God. You see, Jacob is traveling back home as the heir to the covenant promises. But danger is waiting just around the corner. His older brother Esau, you remember him, who had vowed to kill him 20 years earlier? Well, he stands between Jacob and the promised land. Now, as chapter 32 begins, Jacob is visited by angels once again. Their appearance encourages him and gives him assurance of God's continued protection. Now, to Jacob's credit, he takes the initiative and sends messengers to tell Esau that he's coming home. And when he hears in verse 6 that Esau is coming out to meet him, he assumes, oh, well, this isn't good news. For all he knows, Esau is coming to kill him. So Jacob does what you and I would have done. He starts praying. Oh, does he ever pray? Importantly, by the way, here in verse 10, Jacob admits to God that he's not worthy of God's blessings, and that's a great way to pray. Then down here in verse 13, he starts sending gifts to Esau, hundreds of animals from his flocks and herds. He's going to try to soften Esau up with a wagon train of gifts. Verse 23 tells us that Jacob also took his family and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. Now, at this point, Jacob is alone by the brook called Jabbok. Ironically, the word Jabbok means emptying. And this is where Jacob is emptied of every scheme and every manipulation and every possible plan of his own. No doubt he's terrified. He's reached a point in life where he's helpless. It's at this moment the Lord comes to meet him. Verse 24 tells us, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Now, if you go over to Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4, it reveals that this wrestler was actually the angel. This is what we call theologically a Christophany, a pre-incarnate physical appearance of Christ, who often appears as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. Well, this wrestling match lasts several hours. In fact, here in verse 26, at some point in the struggle, Jacob says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Now, what you have here is Jacob clinging to the one he now recognizes as the only one who can bless him, God himself. He isn't trying to win a wrestling match to get a blessing from a man. Oh, no, he's seeking the blessing of the pre-incarnate Redeemer, the Son of God. Now, we might not, wrestle with the Lord physically, but we might be wrestling with him spiritually, emotionally. And what Jacob does in this wrestling match here is exactly what you and I need to do in experiencing the blessing of God. First of all, Jacob recognizes the presence of God in his life. In verse 27, the Lord asks Jacob, well, what is your name? Now, he knows Jacob's name, but the meaning of Old Testament names are significant. And he's effectively asking, well, what kind of man are you that I should bless you? And Jacob answers, well, my name's Jacob. That is, I'm the heel catcher. I'm the one who's always, deceptively conniving to be in front, to be in control. And the Lord replies here in verse 28, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Israel literally means God fights. In other words, your name will no longer mean that you're going to try to fight to be in control, but God will fight for you. God is the one who is in control. And with that, Jacob says here in verse 29, please tell me your name. Well, his request is going to be ignored, but God the Son will bless Jacob. Now, here in verse 30, Jacob names the place Peniel. That means the face of God. Jacob knows that he has been in the presence of the Lord. In fact, this encounter is going to profoundly mark a difference in Jacob's life as he moves forward. He's recognizing that God is active and present in his life. And my friend, you will be blessed in life when you understand that God is at work, a very present help in times of trouble, right? So Jacob's first recognition here is the presence of God in his life. Secondly, Jacob recognizes the preeminence of God in his life. There's no room here for pride. Jacob doesn't say, well, I've seen God, and has he ever been impressed with me? No, he says here in verse 30, I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Those who truly walk with God are not impressed with themselves. They're impressed with God alone. Verse 31 says, the sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. See, this wrestling match, the Lord had wounded Jacob's hip, and he's going to limp for the rest of his life. It's going to be a daily reminder that God met with him and God changed him. By the way, you never hear Jacob complain about that limp. See, Jacob the deceiver has been given a new name, Israel. And he now has a new appreciation for God's presence and God's preeminence. By the way, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you've also been given a new name. Christian. You're a Christian because your life is bound up in the person and the presence of your Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, as Genesis 32 comes to a close, I want you to picture Jacob here as a changed man. Watch him as he limps forward to meet his brother Esau, whom he deceived 20 years earlier. Well, this time, Jacob doesn't have any plans up his sleeve. He's out of plans. He's trusting that God will fight for him. See, his name's Israel. He's more aware than ever. In fact, with each painful, limping stride, that God is present and God is preeminent over his life. There's no better way, by the way, to limp through life than to limp forward, trusting in your faithful Lord. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Jacob's transformation reminds us that God meets us in our struggles. He gives us new purpose and strength to walk in His plans. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called, From Jacob to Israel. If you're looking for encouragement and practical wisdom, sign up for Friends of Wisdom today. Each week, Stephen sends an email filled with helpful insights, answers to Bible questions, and resources to strengthen your faith. And as a thank you, you'll receive two free booklets right away, Blessed Assurance and The Coming Tribulation. It's free, easy, and life-changing. Visit wisdomonline.org/friends to join today and start receiving your weekly dose of wisdom. You'll be glad you did. I'm Scott Wiley, and for Stephen and the entire Wisdom team, thanks for listening. We're going to continue traveling through Genesis and the rest of the Bible in the days ahead. Join us then.